more consistently of. I'll say this about Justin Fields. The one time he was called upon to do that and pass the ball back into the game was in the second half against Indianapolis, and he did that.
Yep.
He met that challenge. He passed that test. But, you know, Russell Wilson has had a history of making right decisions, going through progressions. In the All-22 tape, you'll see a lot of times where Justin Fields misses some guys, and even the ones he's trying to target, he would overthrow. So I think there could be an upgrade in the passing game for sure. Can he do it in this week right off the bat against this team with an offensive line? I'm not sure.
Bob, do you think that the theory out there that the biggest reason why Tomlin is going back to Russell Wilson is because he promised him before the season started, going back to when they signed him, that he would be given an opportunity to start?
Me, no, I don't think that was the case. Just opportunity to come here. I mean, they're only paying $1 million. They couldn't have, you know, all that money's coming from Denver. So I think, you come in. The thing was, he was first here. Justin Fields came after that. So from that standpoint, maybe that's why he got in the, quote, pole position. And they know what he has as a 9-time Pro Bowler and a guy who's been through all sorts of scenarios. But, once he got injured, Justin Fields came in and did a very good job. I don't think that's it. I just think it's pure and simple, and a decision made to try to enhance the pass game. Because ultimately in this league, you're going to have to pass the football down the field, and you can't always rely on legs and not so much arm.
Okay, how do you think Russell Wilson will play?
Well, I hope he plays well, but again, I don't know.
Do you have a good feeling or bad feeling about
him? He hasn't played since the third preseason game, and he's missed all this time.
Yep.
And you can tell me about practice all you want, but this is a game where they can't afford to lose it at home.
I'm not sensing confidence in him in your voice. I don't hear that. I'm not hearing
you
believe
in him. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to pass 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think that'd be crazy to assume that. But I'm also not going to sit here and say he's going to fail miserably.
Well, sure, I don't hear excitement. I don't hear I can't wait to watch Russell Wilson play. He's going to make them better. I don't hear that.
Well, I think all of us want to see him play at some point. I'm not sure how it was going to break down, but I wanted to see what he can do with this offense. Absolutely. It would be nice if they can add another receiver to this core and, do some things that would scheme people open. But, yeah, I'm anxious to see what this looks like because he has the ability to do those kinds of things, and I don't know that Justin is that refined yet in the passing game.
My other thing is, what's the end game with Russell Wilson? Do you think they'll actually sign him to a contract extension after the season if he does well?
Well, I mean, that would have to depend on financial terms of it, because he is going to be 37, and
right.
I think there's a whole difference versus a 20. But my preference would be stick with Fields for long term if he's willing to do it, and again, he would control a lot of what happens here because he is a free agent at the end of this season. But he has a long list of years available to him where Russell Wilson really doesn't. But that's a question I don't have an answer for. I prefer Fields just because I think he's shown that he can mature in a better system with better surrounding cast. And he has here in Pittsburgh compared to what we've seen in Chicago. So if you continue to just, get better as the years go on there, he has more upside than Russell Wilson does. But I like Wilson's potential to upgrade this passing game the rest of the season, and I hope that happens.
Bob Papiani brought to you by the Elvis Impersonators Association of America. Hey, get to Vegas and check out Elvis and his crew at some point this year. Go to visitlasvegas.com for more details.
Really, that's the sponsor?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
How do you feel about it?
I feel good. It makes me feel like I got a fever.
And what fever is that?
I don't know. And that's one of his songs, Fever,
Oh, yeah, I do actually know that.
I got your fever.
You didn't ask
me about Tristan Jari, I'm surprised.
That's the next one. I was going to say, though, I like your Elvis more than I like your Rick Springfield. That thing has gone everywhere, by the way. Bob, are you ready to finally jump off the Tristan Jari bandwagon and join me? I've been trying to pull you in this direction for years.
I'm standing on the edge of the back ready to jump, but I'm not ready. See, I think they have an issue there because they have to get – the track record indicates that he is just in a funk right now. Somehow, someway, he's got to come out of that funk. I don't know how you do that while trying to win games now. So, for now, he doesn't play for me. But I have to figure out something because, this goaltending situation for all teams, you never know what you're going to end up getting. I mean, look at Matt Murray, what he was – started his career and where he ended his career. Ottawa gave him a ton of money thinking he would be that person. It didn't work out that way. There are ups and downs with every goalie. I hope this is a down period, but the down period has lasted far too long for me. And they can't afford to be throwing points away because they're trying to get him, you know, rehabilitate his game. So for now, I don't play him, but I got to figure out something to do because there's still too much time and money left on his contract.
Okay, if they needed to make a decision on Nedeljkovic, let's say Friday, is that would be the deadline. Who would be your starting goalie? Who would be your backup goalie? And who would be the odd man out?
For now?
Yes.
It would be Blomqvist and Nedeljkovic.
Wow.
But I don't know how else I can go. I mean, they can't keep putting him in here if these results continue to be. He's been yanked at 4 of the last 10. His goals against is 882 or something of that. I mean, his save percentage.
His confidence is shot. Let's also just throw that out there. He does not look like a guy right now that mentally has it locked in. That is such a delicate thing for goaltenders. We've seen Fleury get red hot because he was confident in himself. We've seen him go ice cold because of it. And right now, right. Jari is just in a gigantic, you said funk. He's in a giant mental funk. I think it's a lot like the game of golf, Bob. I don't golf like you do, but I think it's one of those things. He's basically got the goalie yips right now.
Yeah, it's like David Duvall, once number one in the world, all of a sudden disappeared. And it didn't take a lot of time for that to happen. So it's tough. It's, you know, you talked to Steve Blass about how his game went south a little quickly. I mean, these things happen, but you hope that it's just a temporary thing with him. I mean, they've invested a ton of money. If not, it will look like the worst contract that they've given out. And that was the first one Dubas did.
Bob, thank you for joining us today, and I'm sorry for not doing the showdown, but if you want me for the following week, I will make you that promise right now.
I will look into that, but yes, I always want you on there, Andrew, but I know you got obligations this weekend. These late nights, I'm not really keen of because we got to go live at midnight, and that's never a fun thing.
All right, thank you, Bob.
All right, guys, stay here. See you, Donnie.
412-928-9370 gets you in on the conversation. Here is Bob in Houston. Hello, Bob. Another Bob. Not Pompeiani. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, first time caller here.
Great. Are you in Houston, PA or Houston, Texas?
Houston, PA.
That's where I live.
I know.
Oh, are we neighbors?
I live probably about a half a mile from where you live.
Oh. Well, cool.
Pretty close.
Next time, come up and say hi.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that.
What do you got for me, Bob?
Hey, I'd like to see Russell Wilson get a shot here.
Okay.
Like Bob just said, 9-time Pro Bowler. He got hurt first day of training camp, correct?
The day before it started, doing the sled push. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess now they feel he's healthy enough to play and be effective. So I'd like to see what he got. Justin Fields has done a good job. I agree with that, but I'd like to see what Russell Wilson could give them.
So this is much more pro Russell Wilson than anti Justin Fields is what I'm hearing.
Correct.
Do you think that Justin Fields is their future at quarterback?
I think that can happen. Yes. I think Justin Fields, when he was in Chicago, didn't have anybody to teach him the quarterback position.
You want him to learn from watching Russ.
Just a couple games experience here, get that experience, and I think he could be long-term.
Well, I don't think that – I don't know. I don't think watching – well, actually, I'm going to contradict myself here and catch myself. Obviously, watching probably helped Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and probably helped Jordan Love. So they took a patient approach with quarterbacks, but then again, Ben Roethlisberger stepped right in two games into his career and never gave the job back. He played well enough that when Tommy Maddox got healthy, no one said, well, wait a minute, Tommy got hurt and led us to a playoff win a couple of years ago. He should get his job back. And both Ben and Fields are first-round picks. So, Bob and I agree with each other on this. I'm not completely ruling out being interested in Russell Wilson. I just don't get the timing of this whatsoever and don't think that Justin Fields has played poorly enough to lose his job. 412-928-9370. Here's Fred in the car. Hello, Fred.
Hi, Pony. How are you doing today?
Is this Fred Iritty?
This is Fred Iritty. How are you?
Fred, are you going to tell everybody how I Irish goodbye to you in Vegas?
I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose to discuss the quarterback situation or the Irish goodbye.
Okay, so for people that missed it, when we were in Vegas at Circa, apparently, I partied too hard and then abruptly left. Did I leave dinner? So the yep. Waiter already came to the table. I put a dinner order in. What did I order?
That's a great. Oh, I know exactly what you ordered, a Caesar salad at 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
As Bruce ordered a $250 appetizer with lobster, shrimp, octopus.
Did I get a chance to eat any of that?
You did not. You got up and excused yourself politely and
never returned. Okay.
And we all got nervous because literally Bruce got up from the table and went looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, maybe he's putting in a bet. Maybe he's just shutting it down. But we were just a little bit concerned. But,
What ended up happening with the bill situation? So I obviously left you guys on the hook for a Caesar salad, which I will reimburse you for. But what happened after that? Because there was a text message yesterday that made it sound like Bruce ran up the bill and then tried to split it evenly with everybody, including our great listener, Kevin from Hawaii, who was there.
So, first of all, that's the first time I've ever met Bruce Gradkowski. You know, knowing that in 2003, he ripped my heart out at Toledo Stadium against Pitt.
Yep.
And then again, in 2009 against the Steelers,
yep,
he comes back and kicks me into you-know-what.
Yep.
And then I meet him for the first time, have dinner with him.
And then he kicks you in the balls again by overcharging you for food.
Well, I had one drink, and we had to divide the bill by four, and it was a $750 bill. So,
Donnie, that's a part. Donnie, get on the microphone here. That's a bad job by Bruce, if that's true. An evenly split bill, and Fred only had one drink, and the guy ordered a seafood tower?
Yeah, I mean, well, Fred and I had a conversation on Monday afternoon when I saw him at Circa, and I thought.
You said no bueno.
Yeah, I think that's a bad look on. First off, it's not only a guy that's ordering everything mostly for himself and then trying to split it. It's a guy who did all that while also being a former NFL player.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
got
to get Bruce on here to defend his honor because this is really a shot across the bow.
Now I won't lie to you. Did I pick at that platter knowing darn well I was going to have to divide up the bill? I felt bad for Bruce because he was sitting with three people he really didn't know,
mm-hmm,
and the person he did know
had
left the table.
Yeah.
So
the crazy part is you texted me the next day and I said, I don't remember any of this. I just got back from the gym. I mean, I was fresh as a daisy the next morning. So I don't remember what came over me where I just abruptly left you guys, blew you off, evidently, stuck you with food that I didn't end up. Who ended up eating the Caesar salad? Did Bruce take advantage of that too?
I don't remember who ate what. All I can tell you is he got an ear beating from your boy in Hawaii about how bad he hates Mike Tomlin.
Oh boy. Yeah, we've heard Kevin espouse that opinion a few times. All right, thank you, Fred.
All right, I was going to talk about the QBs, but I'll leave it at this.
All right, thank you. So you got that full story on Monday, the Gradkowski gate.
Yes. Yeah. Fred was still hanging out at Circa.
I'm still reeling from this Gradkowski story because it is not the Bruce Gradkowski that I have come to know and love, where he does lavish spending at dinner and then try to evenly spread the bill around to the other people there.
Well, I think you have the perfect guy coming on here that you can ask about
Steve Palazzolo, former co-worker of Bruce Gradkowski from the 33rd team. Steve, we were out in Vegas for the Raiders game. Bruce was there. Irish goodbye dinner, apparently. And the other three people that were left with him, he ordered a seafood tower. He ordered a $250 steak. And then he said, let's split the meal four ways. Your thoughts?
No way, Bruce.
This has not been confirmed by him, but people that were there in attendance have said that's how it went down. If true, that's a bad job by him. That's a very bad job by him.
That's poor. I think so. When I was training him in the PFF system years ago, and he would, you know, drive down from Toledo down to Cincinnati like once a week, and I was for a few weeks expensing lunches with him. I would go to lunch with Bruce and be like, well, he's in from out of town, you know, mm-hmm, so I'll expense this lunch. That lasted about 3 weeks before that got shut down. So
why was he driving?
He was always trying to steal a few free meals from us.
Okay, so
you know?
He was trying to get the expensive fillets at lunch and maybe a
He was fine. He bought us Chipotle once, I think, at the office. But man, we used to pull up that backup QB money list and the $8 to $10 million that he made through his career. It's like, dude, the Chipotle's on you, man. It's on you, you know?
Well, he's also one of those guys, I think, and if he were on with us, I think he would confirm this. He's a big fan of looking at what guys he thought were worse than him to see how much money they made and then to bitch and complain about how much more money they made than him. Like, can you believe Matt Flynn made this much money when I was 10 times the quarterback that he was?
Just a true competitor. Yeah. Just a true competitor, Bruce.
I was the
best backup.
You made waves because I think you said something along the lines of, it's not like the Steelers are benching a guy that's played great in Justin Fields. Do I have you quoted somewhat correctly or no?
Yeah, somewhat correctly. I didn't know I made waves with that statement, but where'd it go?
Well, just people, it's just the zeitgeist here. People have been talking about it at coffee shops and at water coolers. It's been,
oh, I'm sure,
it's been referenced.
I mean, Justin Fields, I think we just set the expectation so low for Fields coming out of Chicago that it was like anytime he worked within structure and threw the ball pretty accurately and made plays with his legs like he has the first few weeks, it felt better. But I think, you know, choose an advanced metric besides the record of the Steelers, 4-2. Choose a metric, PFF, QBR, EPA, passer rating. It's middle of the pack at best. And so, again, it's not like you're benching a, you know, proven top 10 quarterback or even a guy that's playing top 10 quarterback right now. He's been good. He's been, I've talked him up. I think he's been, you know, excellent compared to expectations. But again, I don't think it's this, like, there's a lot of people who have really strong takes that you can't bench him. And I am firmly sitting on the fence. That's my strong take is, let's see what Russ does. Because if Russ is terrible for 2 weeks, you go back to Justin Fields. And, I don't think there is a big difference between both quarterbacks right now, would be my prediction.
But it is rare when you're saying that there's not a gap between the two guys that the 25-year-old would lose his job to the 35, 36-year-old, I think.
No, I get it. I'm not like firmly in like, well, you have to give Russ a chance here, but again, I'm not in the camp that like, well, there's no way you could take this job away from Justin Fields. This isn't Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe in 2001, just if we want to go back that far. I think there's parts of Russ's game that could, get the downfield passing attack going and a little bit more consistent. There's parts of Russ's game that could make the offense better.
The thing that people have said as a argument for Russell Wilson is the guy is going to process the game better and he's going to read defenses better. And the rebuttal I've had back to that is, Steve, well, then why does it take him forever to throw the ball? If he's so good at those two things, why does it take him just as long to get rid of the ball as it does Justin Fields?
No, he's not. I mean, he's not great at that. He's still probably better than Fields, but Fields has been, showing that progress. I'm a little intrigued by, like, look, if the fact that Justin Fields made those strides in Arthur Smith's offense, I wonder if Russ could make those strides in that offense. Now, we've seen Russ in Nathaniel Hackett's offense and Sean Payton's offense, and it wasn't great. It wasn't great over the last couple seasons. So who knows? But I think Russ gives – it's not like Russ has this huge strength that Fields doesn't have. Other than, I think he can make more consistent downfield throws. He'll run a little bit less. He'll check down a little bit more. But there might be the potential for just more consistent, downfield passing in this offense.
What is the skill right now that you would value more, Russell Wilson's downfield passing or Justin Fields' running ability?
I have to see where Russ is, man. I mean, look, he really hasn't played well for about 3.5 years. I mean, that's just the reality of this.
Buy the 26 touchdown, 8 interception thing that people pound to death.
No. Touchdown interception ratio is just a terrible number generally. There's so much luck and circumstance involved in those numbers. Like Russ didn't play that great last year. He had some moments. He didn't play that well all last season. There was a lot of garbage time stuff in there. It just wasn't great. I think the Fields running ability, you saw it on Sunday, like that was not a great passing effort against the Raiders.
It was not.
But he has 2 touchdowns on the ground. Broderick Jones forgets to block anyone on a play and Fields turns it into a gain, right? It's like those things do matter and Fields does bring that to the table. Russ isn't doing that right now. So I think Yeah, maybe the again, I want to just see where Russ is. I'm more curious than anything, but I don't like have a strong opinion that he's going to go out there and, you know, throw for 350 and three scores, you know?
Steve, the latest name that's linked to the Steelers on the wide receiver spin the wheel and see if this guy ends up with this team deal is Mike Williams. Do you think Mike Williams has anything left, or is Aaron Rodgers right? Get him away from me because he stinks and is costing me games and making me throw interceptions and look bad.
No, I think Williams is still good. I mean, he's just not on the same page as Rodgers. You see that at times. Remember when Ocho Cinco went to New England?
And, oh, my God, yes.
I mean, it was the end of his career. But him and Tom Brady looked like they weren't working from the same playbook. Like, you're still getting that from Mike Williams and Aaron Rodgers. I still think there's ability there. He's big. He can go up and get it as a downfield threat, a man coverage answer, you know, that, you know, you could back shoulder the ball to. So, yeah, I still think there's a little something left in Mike Williams.
Steve Palazzolo now with the 33rd team and making waves here in Pittsburgh because of comments he made on his Check the Mic podcast with Sam Monson. Thank you, Steve.
Always happy to make waves. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia of Peters Township. Really, the Gradkowski thing kind of caused the show to come to a screeching halt now that it was confirmed by our listener, Fred, and friend of the show. 4:30 on a Thursday means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donnie finds the biggest football stories, the things that are on his football mind, and we chat about them every day at 4:30. Don?
The Debrief, October 17, 2024. Do you follow Jimmy Traina on Twitter, Pony? Do you know who
I
that
do,
is?
As a matter of fact, yes. He was bitching last night that Fox had the Masked Singer on instead of the NLCS, that they relegated the NLCS to FS1 while Fox had the Masked Singer. In the early 2000s, when you were in your formative years as a baseball fan, the big playoff series were always on Fox.
Yes.
And now, no offense to my friend Nick Wright and Danny Parkins, who are both FS1 employees, FS1 is for let's pick a bad Big Ten football game on a Saturday or a Big 12 matchup between West Virginia and Texas Tech, or some Big East basketball game that nobody gives a crap about. You're not supposed to put the friggin' NLCS on that channel. You think my grandmother, who is a baseball fan, has any clue where the hell FS1 is?
No.
Come on now.
It should be on Fox.
For the Masked Singer. The people were getting in his mention saying the Masked Singer probably does better ratings than baseball games.
I'm going to say no, especially when you think about the teams that are playing.
Yep.
And some of the players involved.
Anyways, yes, I do. To answer your question, I do follow Jimmy Traina.
Yeah, so he put out an article yesterday, I think this was, really just speculation more so than anything, but it was about games that he thinks could get flexed on the NFL schedule between now and Thanksgiving. Now, he, in doing so, that's obviously pertaining to the standalone national games, your Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, and then the 4:25 big one on Fox.
Wait a minute.
Or
so,
CBS.
So games can get flexed into any of those slots now?
Well, more specifically, the games that are in those slots can now get flexed out.
So a team can get flexed into a Thursday game?
They could. I forget what the rule is on that.
Okay.
Now, I think they try to not do that as much as possible.
But they can get flexed into a Monday night slot too?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just Sunday night football. So the Steelers, the only games they have that are prime time between now and Thanksgiving are Sunday's game against the Jets, which obviously isn't moving. The game against the Giants, which isn't moving because it would be too late.
Too
late for that.
2 weeks in advance.
And am I missing anything else between now and Thanksgiving? No Ravens games in primetime. Thursday night against the Browns. That's before
Correct.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So that would be it. But do the Steelers have a game that's enticing enough and appealing enough where it might get flexed into primetime?
So he does have a couple of those instances on here because he is he's a big believer in, hey, you got a couple of rookie quarterbacks who are playing pretty well. If you have a crappy primetime matchup, maybe just get those guys into that slot. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, is starting to figure things out. So one of them starts with what I believe is week 10. So that's early November. He has And he normally will break down the matchups too, which I think is kind of cool. Like he'll just think like, okay, pretty good Thursday game, great Sunday night game. Like in that case, it's Lions and Texans. But the Monday night game is atrocious. ESPN should dump this game. It's Dolphins-Rams right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they should either swap in the Niners and Bucks or the Steelers and Commanders in that game.
Steelers and Commanders is a 1 o'clock game. It's Steelers on the road, so by the old rules, that would be a CBS game, I think. Right? I don't know if they have a doubleheader that weekend.
Yeah.
If they don't, then they would probably send Nance and Romo to that game.
Yeah, because I believe Fox has the 425. It's Eagles-Cowboys.
Then I don't see any way that... See, that was the problem that NBC ran into last week. They wanted to move the Commanders-Ravens game to primetime, but CBS said, no, we're keeping that game, and we got Bengals and Giants instead. So if it's a network's number one game for the weekend, I think that network can protect it.
Yeah.
So I think that would probably happen with Steelers and Commanders, which, by the way, I think there's probably less than a 50% chance, but there's still a very real chance that I would want to go to that game. And that place is such a zoo. It's the worst stadium situation in the entire league. There's no way if that's a night game I'm going to that game.
Tickets are a boatload.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I wanted to go to that game.
So let's say nosebleed behind the end zone, upper deck, more than $200.
Yeah, I mean, like the cheapest to get in just on like Ticketmaster with the, I try to hit the little thing that includes the fees.
Yep.
Over $300.
Jeez. Is that more than you paid for tickets to the Raiders game?
No, but it's a lot closer than I thought it would be.
Wow. Yikes,
I mean,
man.
One place is Las Vegas, and it's one of the cooler stadiums in the league.
The other place,
one is
railings
in
are breaking and fans are falling.
A known dump.
The food options are absolute garbage. Did you eat inside the Vegas stadium?
No, I did not get any food.
Did you see the Raiders radio broadcast inside the Raiders stadium?
I did. I happened to share that with Craig, and I said I like this idea a lot.
Of us doing live broadcasts inside Acrisure Stadium for Steelers games.
Well, mostly for pregame instances, because now I have those duties. But
that would make things a lot easier for you.
I happened to not get a response from Craig.
Is there another game that they think might get put in a primetime slot that's a Steelers game?
So then there's also Week 11. Because that lineup that week is Eagles Commanders Thursday night. That looks like a great game. Chiefs Bills Sunday 4:25 looks like a great game. Colts and Jets right now, the Sunday night game, and then Texans Cowboys the Monday night game. They would never move that one.
No.
His only gripe there was that if they do move Colts and Jets, you have Ravens and Steelers sitting at 1 o'clock, which is a rarity that we see those two play just a 1 o'clock Sunday game.
Yeah, they did last year in Pittsburgh. That was the game that Kenny won with the George Pickens touchdown pass, but the second game got moved into the that Saturday, that Week 18 Saturday game. Remember that?
Yes.
That turned into kind of a primetime game. I don't remember if that was the, that was not the late game that day, right? That was like a 4:30 Saturday
start? Yeah.
Man, you know what it's going to be? I'm putting the cart so far ahead of the horse, I shouldn't even say this out loud and make it sound like I'm touching the money. But isn't there the odd chance that a Steelers Saturday game could go up against a college football playoff game, that a Penn State game or a Pitt college football playoff game could interfere with the Steelers?
It could, because the Steelers are in Baltimore. I think it's December 21st. I don't know what the Saturday is, but that is a Saturday game. I mean, I've also thought, like, for our
what would you do
purposes,
what if Pitt was in the playoff for the first time ever and had a chance to compete for a national championship, and they kick off at the same time as the Steelers Ravens game? That would be awful.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a two TV setup,
but I would not want to divide my attention on two things.
No.
Is what I'm saying,
man, that would be tough.
But like I said, that is getting way, way, way ahead
of ourselves.
And
there's also a Pitt Hoops game that day, because I've already thought ahead, like, okay, for pregame Steeler purposes, like, where are we at? And I think Pitt Hoops plays at like 2 o'clock. That Steeler game is at 4, so that means it'll be an early pregame that
day.
See,
I want to do at least one Steelers tailgate this year. because with the Colts game, I was working, and even though I got invited to a bunch in Indianapolis, I didn't want to show up inside the stadium when I'm working for the station and ask Mike Tomlin questions drunk. I thought that would be pretty unprofessional. And so I got to do at least one game this year where I get out there and they got the sausages going and hot dogs and hamburgers and the cheerleaders tailgate that they have with the chicken on a stick and everything else. You know, have you stopped tailgating because of the pregame shows?
I mean, it's definitely been cut down. Like,
do you miss it?
Part of me, yeah. I mean, obviously I'm happy with what I'm doing as a replacement, but like part of me does think, like, you know, I have buddies out there just yucking it up, having a good time. There is another game on here that he thinks the Steelers could be thrown into. It's the Thanksgiving weekend, because that Monday night game is Browns-Broncos. And he thinks it could maybe a Steelers or Bengals or Chargers-Falcons could be slotted in there. By the way, also, before we forget, the big high school football game tomorrow on KDKA Radio, a big out-of-conference matchup that our big boss is especially excited about.
They're playing,
I'm sure,
non-conference in October, huh?
Pine Richland and North Allegheny.
Woo.
You take those record books wherever you can find them, you find the nearest window, and you chuck them.
What's the John Phillips line for that game? What do you have it at?
Oh, I don't. I got to hit him up for that. I would think North Allegheny
by double digits. Without Phil Jurkovic walking through that door.
See, it'd be tough to go that far because PR did have a pretty big. They beat Central very early in the season.
Isn't Don the coach there?
Yes.
The old El Equipa guy. I've heard really good things about him.
Yeah, things are a little bit different once we get into late October.